3 weeks away. Can hardly wait. 3 more weeks and it's going to be here. You're like, okay, what's coming in 3 weeks? The preacher's sort of excited about something coming in three. Christmas? No, it's too early. It's not even Advent or Thanksgiving yet. It's Easter? No, Easter's passed already. Pentecost? Well, no, we're in the Pentecost season right now. So what's coming in 3 weeks? It's the start of the NFL football season, of course, right? Where the games really matter. They count. And the Cardinals, though 0-2 now during the preseason, they have a promising year to look forward to because I think they're going to be pretty good. And it's coming in 3 weeks, their start of their season. Well, I would venture to guess, as head coach Bruce Arians talks to his team the night before or the day before they play the Patriots at Sunday night, he's not going to say these words. He's not going to tell them, okay, team, now go out and play like a bunch of kids. Okay? He's not going to say that. In fact, I would venture to guess he's going to say something sort of the opposite. Go out and play like mature men, you know. Play smart football. You know, act like men. And that's sort of what we're told in the world, too, isn't it? Don't behave like little kids. Don't be childish, but be mature. Be strong. Be adult-like as you act. You know, don't act so childish. But it's the opposite in Christianity, isn't it? Christianity, Jesus tells us that we are to have child-like faith. We are to have this complete trust in God. Almost a naive faith, if you will, in God. And as we go through this series, we're in the middle of this series, Childlike Faith. We saw a couple of weeks ago how our childlike faith knows that God is always for us. And last week we heard that God is always with us. And this morning, our childlike faith, it tells us, reminds us that we are forgiven. And we live in a state of grace. We live under, in God's grace, if you will. And in Romans 6, verse 14, it reiterates that point. Paul writes to the church in Rome, to us this morning, "For sin shall no longer be your master, because you are not under the law, but under grace." You're under grace. Well, what does that mean? That we're under God's grace. We're not under the law anymore. Well, the fact is that we can't be saved by the law. By keeping the law, that is not the way of salvation. Salvation is only by the grace of God. That is how we obtain everlasting life. It's not that we can be good. It's not that we can earn our salvation. It's not that we can do enough good things so we can inherit heaven because we're a good person. Pastor Ron and I have been really hitting home lately on this point, and we're driving the point home that we are saved by the grace of God, not because of our works. Because a survey came out again not too long ago that said that even Lutherans, can you imagine, over 50% of Lutherans said that if you're good enough, if you live a good enough life, you can go to heaven. Mentioned nothing about the grace of God. We're saved by His grace, not because of our works, not because of what we do, but the fact is that God is a gracious, merciful God. He gives us the gift of everlasting life, undeserving as we are. He gives us that gift through Jesus Christ. And part of living then in grace, part of being under the grace of God, is the fact that we know that we are forgiven. No matter what we have done in our life, or no matter what we will do, it's been forgiven by God. It's Jesus taking it to the cross. And in fact, not only is it forgiven, the psalmist in Psalm 103 tells us that our sin is even removed from us. Psalm 103, verse 12 says, "He," that's God, "He has removed our sins as far as the east is from the west." They're no longer here. He's taken them away. The sin is gone. It's completely removed as far as the east. It doesn't get any further than that. Then the east is from the west. He has removed our sin from us. gone, not just covered up, not just put a blanket over, but completely removed by God, completely gone. I'm sure most of us remember typewriters, right? Okay. Now, for you young people here who don't know what a typewriter is, real quick lesson, it's this machine. Before computers, you'd have to type your papers on a typewriter. You put a piece of paper in, crank this little crank, and type away. That's how I learned to type, was on a typewriter, okay? So in high school and in college, a lot of my papers would have to be typed on a typewriter. I'm an impatient person, and I would try and always go so fast. Okay, try and type away. And, mistake after mistake would occur on those papers. I'm like, oh boy. Thank goodness for this stuff called liquid paper, right? Liquid paper, that little jar, little white stuff, okay? And you get that little brush out, and you put it over your mistake, and you blow on it a little bit, right? And then you can type back over it. The mistake would be gone. But yet, if you look closely enough, you can still see it. You could still see that mistake, and a lot on my papers, believe me. You could still see those errors. It was still on the paper. That's not the way God forgives our sin. God doesn't just say, hey, I'm going to cover up your sin. No, he says, it's removed. It's completely gone. It's not even on the paper anymore. It has been removed. In fact, God even takes it a step further. He says, not only is it your sin removed, I have chosen to forget about your sin. And the prophet Isaiah, in chapter 43, verse 25, he says, I, and this is God speaking through the prophet Isaiah, says, I am he who blots out your transgressions, your sins, for my own sake. You see, God can't stand to be in the presence of sin, so he blots out our wrongdoings. Our sins, they're blotted out, and remembers your sin no more. This almighty, this all-powerful, this all-ever-present God has chosen to remember our sins no more. He forgets them. He doesn't even remember that they occurred. And so if you've committed a sin, maybe a month, maybe 6 months, maybe 6 years ago that you've repented of and you feel sorry about, but it still sort of nags you. And you come to God and you say, God, this one sin, I just keep thinking about it over and over again. You know, take it from me. God would respond to you and say, what sin? I don't remember it. He's forgotten about it. Our sin has been forgotten about by God. He remembers our sin no more. They're completely gone. They're removed. Kids are good at forgetting and forgiving each other, more so than adults, aren't they? I think kids understand grace a little bit more than we as adults can comprehend grace. Well, kids, for example, they can be fighting and they can be arguing and they can be ready to kill each other, just like these two up there are about ready to do. They're ready to deck each other, punch each other in the nose because they said some harsh words to each other. They were fighting, going at it, tooth and nail. But then a couple of minutes later, they're back playing together, being forgiving of one another, and again, all is forgotten about. Those harsh words that were said just a few minutes ago, completely forgotten about, and they go on with their life. That's what we adults need to do as well. That's what God has done for us. You see, God says that as he has removed, as he has forgotten, as he has forgiven our sin, he wants us to forgive one another as well. He wants you and I to forgive as well. I'm sure you can think of many families or, you know, there's the Hatfields and the McCoys, of course, who have been in conflict for years and years. But I'm sure today you can think of many families or perhaps even in your family, maybe you yourself. Somebody has done something bad to you, maybe horrendously bad, a terrible thing they've done to you, and you just can't forgive them. You just can't get it in your heart to forgive them because it was such a terrible thing. And so now there's tension. Now there's conflict in the family. Or that person that you once called a friend is no longer a friend any longer because of this event that has happened. And so there's so many examples of families, of people we once called friends that no longer we call friends, that are torn apart, that there's conflict because there's no forgiveness, because of unforgiveness. Even churches. How many churches have split apart because they're not willing to forgive one another? God wants us to forgive as he has forgiven us. And we learn from those kids. We learn that we can forgive. We can forget. I know it's difficult. But if you're holding a grudge, if you have that unforgiveness in your heart, ask the Holy Spirit for help and strength to go to that person and reach out in forgiveness. Perhaps you think it's maybe been too long, but the time is never too late. Go to that individual and ask. Be forgiving one another. Because we know that we've been forgiven, haven't we? We've been forgiven by God. We know that sin is removed, that sin is forgotten about by God. And we know it up here in our heads, don't we? But what does it really mean to live in his grace, to have that forgiveness? Well, we know, because our sin is forgiven, that we're not going to spend eternity separated from God in hell. We're going to spend eternity in heaven because of that forgiveness that we have in Christ. We have faith in Jesus Christ, who has taken away all of our sin, and that has reconciled us back into the loving arms of the Heavenly Father. And so we're going to spend eternity with our Lord in heaven, not separated from God in hell. Because the wages of sin is death. But for us believers, we know that we have faith and we have forgiveness. We live in the grace of God. And because of that grace, we're going to live forever in heaven. Well, what about this woman in our gospel reading for this morning? Simon, and it's not Simon Peter, it's Simon, a Pharisee, was having a dinner party. And Jesus was invited. He's there. And there's this uninvited guest, this woman, who most likely was a woman of the night, who came and is at Jesus' feet, crying, weeping, drying his feet with her hair, kissing his feet, and then even takes a jar of perfume, pours the perfume on his feet. Was this woman asking for forgiveness? Was she saying, "Lord, you know, I've lived a terrible life and I just feel terrible. I want forgiveness"? Well, most commentaries, and I would say I would agree with this, is that she was not seeking forgiveness at that point in time, but she was showing what it means to live under the grace of God, that she had been forgiven already, that she had come to Jesus probably at some other previous point and asked for forgiveness, and Jesus had said that she was forgiven, and now she's showing the result of that forgiveness, the result of being forgiven. She's so thankful. She's so grateful for that forgiveness. She is showing her response to God, to Jesus, for that forgiveness, for changing her from being that wretched woman of the night to a child of God. And she's thanking him. Because you see, when we live under grace, we're changed from the inside out. We're changed. Our lives are different. And we respond to love then, because God first loved us. Because he has forgiven us and showed us his grace and mercy, it flows out from us and we worship him. It's probably maybe why you're here today, is to worship him, give him thanks and praise because he's forgiven you. He's given you the gift of everlasting life. He's promised to always be with us. So we thank him, we praise him for that grace, for that mercy that he shows to us in our life. Our life is changed, and it certainly was changed for that woman in our gospel reading. You see, back in Jesus' day, a woman of the night would put on a bunch of perfume, strong-smelling perfume, and that would say to her clients that she's available. She's open for business, if you will. Well, by her pouring that perfume on Jesus' feet, she's telling him, "I'm done with that lifestyle. I've repented There's two parts to repentance. It's to feel sorry for the sin, and then it's wanting to change our life. And she's wanting to change her life now. She says, I don't need that perfume anymore. I'm moving on in my life. I am changed. And so she pours this perfume at the feet of Jesus, expensive perfume, as she worships him and thanks him and praises him for the forgiveness that she has. Verse 47 said that she had been forgiven. You and I have been forgiven as well. And as forgiven people of God, then we change our life. That love of God flows out from us freely. And we want to show that mercy and that love to one another by not only forgiving, but loving each other as well. Are we still sinners? Yes. Is that woman still a sinner? Yes. We are still sinners this side of heaven, and we will be until the day that we live forever with God in heaven. But we have the forgiveness. We know that whatever we do will be forgiven by God in Jesus Christ. And so we continue to do what 1 John instructs us to do, and that is to confess our sins, to tell him all of our griefs and all of our things that we have done wrong, not because God needs to know it, because he knows all things. He's omniscient. But we come to him for our own good, for our catharsis, to get it off our chest, to say, Lord, I'm a sinner, and I love your grace, your mercy, your forgiveness that you have for me. Amen. In fact, let's do that now. Let's confess to God, our Heavenly Father, as we have a time of confession, as you think about those things, those times that you missed the mark, those times that you didn't live the way that God wants you to live, we come to him now in confession. Oh, gracious Heavenly Father, you know our sins, you know our wrongdoings, but you tell us to confess them, to lay them at the foot of the cross for our good, to get it off of our chest. And Lord, we do that right now. Those times that we said those words that are bad, or the time that we weren't loving or caring to our family, or those things that we have done that are not pleasing in your sight, we lay them at the foot of the cross, knowing that our Savior Jesus took on those sins, and that you, God our Father, you not only forgive, but you remove, you forget those sins. Lord, we thank you for that grace, for that forgiveness that we live in, that we know that we are forgiven. We're forgiven because of Jesus Christ, our Savior. And it's in his name we pray. Amen. And that is the good news. Our sins have been not just removed, but forgotten by God himself. Forgotten that you did those things. Complete and total forgiveness in God. We are forgiven. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. We now continue our worship as we respond back to God, as we respond to him with our offerings and tithes and gifts of love.